You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Greg Williams was trying to get fired. Get out of town, jackass. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. It is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. By all means, join us on the lines. We will get to the calls very shortly. We will also hit him up on Twitter at Chris Carlin. By all means, be on over there. I don't know if there's any other way to potentially describe it other than disgraceful. Completely and utterly disgraceful. Look, we can argue all you want about thank God the Jets lost. They're still going to get the number one pick, hopefully. They keep losing. Greg Williams did us a favor in the long haul. This isn't about any of that. In my mind, there is no question that Greg Williams saw the writing on the wall around here, understands exactly what was going to happen, understands that he wasn't going to get a job, and quit on his team. How? By calling a zero blitz, something that, according to Next Gen Stats, has not been called in nearly 15 years in that situation. Greg Williams has shown himself to be a man of zero integrity, and yesterday proved it because he quit on his players, he quit on the organization paying him, and that was no question, exactly what he wanted when he got called into the office this morning. You know, when you understand what's going to happen, when you know you're getting fired, a lot of times you just want to get it over with, and why not go collect some money and go on vacation in the meantime and get paid for that? I absolutely believe that's what happened. If you want to believe for a second that somehow the Jets wanted to lose so badly that they told Greg Williams, hey, do what you can here. Joe Douglas whispered in his ear, maybe call a couple of plays that might help us out here. Maybe he's trying to do everything he can to help them to lose? No. Why did they fire him, if that was the case? You think if you fire him, he's going to keep his big trap shut? That was a case of, I will take my money and I will go home. That is about coaching integrity. And if there's one thing we have never seen from Greg Williams, it's integrity. From Bountygate to calling out offenses, to creating divisiveness among his teams, to pissing off everybody in his way, taking shots at former players, Greg Williams has shown himself to be nothing but an arrogant jerk. And when people show you what they are over the course of time, believe them. Believe them. That was a complete and utter lack of respect for the game, for the people paying you, for the players that you are getting to play for you. The fact that you would call that, I mean, even you are not that arrogant and stupid. Even you're not. You know, at first yesterday, I thought he's like the Roy Tin Cup McAvoy of defensive coordinators, except a lot less likable than Roy McAvoy. Not likable at all, in fact. I watch that, and I'm just disgusted. Disgusted with what he did. I mean, you're going to call an all-out blitz when two plays earlier, your own zone with a four-man rush couldn't allow guys to get behind him. You're going to call an all-out blitz when you have a rookie, undrafted, free agent corner going up against the fastest man in the league. You are not that dumb. You don't get to be a coach in the league for as long as you have by being that dumb. You don't. That was get me the hell out of here. Pack it in. I'll show up for work tomorrow and hopefully you'll send me home. And that's exactly what happened. That was his plan. And I'll worry about the next job. Problem with that, Greg, is anybody that's paying attention isn't going to hire you and shouldn't hire you. That was an utter disgrace, what you did. You know, it's amazing. Greg Williams has always gone out of his way to make sure everybody knows that he is the smartest coach on the field. At least he believes he is. The people that think they are the smartest people in the room and have to tell you, they're not. The ones who know they're the smartest people in the room don't tell you they are, and they sit back and they listen and they gain knowledge. They're not arrogant like that. How else can you explain it? How else can you explain making a call like that? Trying to get fired. I've seen people do it. I've seen people do it. I've seen people plant stories in a newspaper about their replacement and go into their boss and say, hey, what's this all about? So they could get fired and get paid for the next several months. And in Williams' case, I don't know if he's got a contract through next year, but he's going to get paid for a while. And now he gets a paid vacation. I've seen that happen before. It's brilliant in some ways, if that's what you're trying to do. But the grand scheme, it was pretty dumb. Because anybody who's paying attention is never going to hire you as a defensive coordinator again, unless his name is Jerry Jones, unless his name is Daniel Snyder, unless his name is Mark Davis. It's not going to happen. Just go away and retire, you complete and utter disgrace to the profession. That's what it was. An absolute abomination, an insult to anybody who's ever tried to win football games, an insult to any true competitor on the football field in every single way. Folks, we all could joke about wanting the Jets to lose and they should build a statue to Greg Williams and he actually earned his money yesterday. That's all fine. You can joke about that if you want. What I know is those guys on the field are the ones who are busting their asses trying to win a football game. And their leader purposely did them in yesterday because he wanted out. That's exactly what happened. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Just go away. I felt bad for Adam. I felt bad for him. Because by the time he heard the words cover zero in his earpiece, the ball had been snapped. Imagine that. Imagine that being the case. The ball had been snapped by the time he heard cover zero. He didn't even have a chance. Wow. Just unreal. Arrogance on the highest level. Go sit on a beach and never show your face around the game again. If you had any respect for yourself or for the NFL, that's exactly what you'd do. 800-919-ESPN. I will get to some tweets here shortly as well. Let us hit the phones. Kevin in Island Park is going to start us off tonight. Kevin, what's going on, bud?
Listen, first of all, I want to say respect to you, and what I want to say is nothing personal.
Okay.
But what's your football team, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm a Steeler fan, believe it or not.
A Steeler fan. Okay, so you've been successful for God knows how long.
That has nothing to do with this.
Just, if you just let me get this off my chest, sir, and I'm going to say this with full respect. This is like a toddler taking a medicine. The Jets fans are taking our medicine right now. Let us live, man. Let us get one quarterback, one thing. Let's get a reset.
I want you to lose the games. I want you to get the number one pick. I want you to get Trevor Lawrence. That has nothing to do with what Greg Williams did yesterday. which was a complete and utter disgrace to the game, and that's why he got fired today. If he was trying to lose the game and do it on purpose, he would not have gotten fired.
Listen, great, it's genius. I want to go contribute to his charity. I'm getting the number one pick. I'm not going through this for nothing, Chris.
Kevin, I understand that. I understand that. But that's not how you do it. That's not how you do it. I'm sorry. I get it. You're going through a ton of pain. I want you to lose these games. I do. But there's a difference.
Then what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Because there's a difference, you dope. There's a difference, Kevin, and I do respect you too, even though I called you a dope. There's a difference between losing games and positioning yourself right and then out and out trying to get yourself fired, because that's what he did yesterday. He was trying to get out. What he was doing yesterday had nothing to do with you getting the number one pick. He wanted an early vacation. That's what he wanted.
And let him have it. I want the number one pick. Can I get one? Can I have something, Chris? Can you let me live?
Are you just going to not listen to the point? It's the integrity of a coach that he owes to his players who bust their ass for him. That's what it's about.
Listen, if you have any integrity or belief in this coaching staff, you are lost, Chris. This guy should have been hired.
I'm sorry. There's something about a coach having integrity in himself. Thanks for the call, even though I kind of mean it. I think more than anything, if you're going to let him off the hook for that, and you're going to think that he's some big hero for getting you the number one pick, you're completely lost in the game. I get it. I get it. You want so desperately to get that quarterback. I want that for you. I want it for you. I don't want it that way. That guy was trying to get out of town as quickly as possible because he knew he was getting fired. He knew he wasn't getting a shot at being a head coach, and he's an arrogant jerk. That's why. Mark in Woodbridge is next. Mark, what's going on?
What's going on, Chris?
Mark, I don't know what you say to players who are out there busting their asses for you, and you're coaching them, and you pull that garbage.
Well, yeah, that was amazing. I didn't understand that for the life of me either. You know what I want to say tonight, Chris, about the Jets, is I just feel in my heart that it's getting to a point where when I hear all this talk about them trying to lose to get to get Trevor Lawrence and stuff, that kind of reeks a little bit of the 1919 Chicago White Sox there when they, you know, you got to go out there and you got to, you know, put forth full effort. You know, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, Chris, I remember the Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier fight, the third fight. And Joe Frazier, he busted his butt and both of his eyes were closed. He was fighting one of the best heavyweights who ever lived. And he busted his butt, and he wanted to go out for that 15th round. And Eddie Futch said, man, I just can't let you do it. And he was mad. That's the kind of competition. If the Jets will ever be successful, and they haven't been successful in a long time, and that division's no joke now, Chris. There's a lot of really good football teams in the AFC East now. And, you know, if they're going to have a chance and make their fans happy, what they got to do is this one player is not going to do it, not Trevor Lawrence, not Dan Marino in his prime. No one player is going to do it. It takes the right mindset. And also, another thing that bothered me was why they started to call out their coach and air their dirty laundry. Yes, that was a terrible call by the...
Because they had every... Marcus May had every right to speak up. Right.
But we can compare that, Chris, to the Super Bowl when the Seattle played New England when... That last play that what Bevels called or Carroll called.
No. It's worse than that. It's worse than that. It's infinitely worse than that. Because he's trying to at least come up with a call that might catch some people off guard and is a little bit different. What Greg Williams did was show off his arrogance and just quit. By sending an all-out blitz, he knew he was making a massive mistake. Nobody's that dumb. Nobody's that dumb, especially a coach who has been around for as long as he has. Nobody's that dumb. And for Marcus May, a guy that says, Nothing. A guy that's a good teammate, good locker room guy, to speak out and say that, this clown had to go.
Well, you might be right, but you know, one thing I wanted to say, Chris, was, like, this talk about Russell Wilson, they tried to get him to throw people out of the bus, as ridiculous as that call was, you know, a slant in the middle of the field where the ball can get tipped. They didn't have to do that. They had a lot of options there. But he never would throw anybody. That's because that's the kind of guy he is. But the Jets have to learn first and foremost, if they want to be a winner and turn this thing around, it's not one guy who's going to do it, A. B, they've got to work as a team like Joe Judge. Joe Judge has respect of the whole team because he's consistent, he's fair, he's tough, but he's not going to throw anybody under the bus. But another thing I think
normally I'm with you. Thanks for the call. Normally I'm with you. In that case, no problem whatsoever with Marcus May saying it because he's 100% right. Those guys are the ones out there laying it on the line. And I mean physically laying it on the line. They deserve better than that. We can all sit here and say how much we wanted the Jets to lose. And I still wanted the Jets to lose. Seeing them lose that way made me sick. Because it's clearly what he wanted. And that was out. That was an early vacation. Spike in Jersey. Spike, what's going on?
You can't be feeling too good right now, huh?
Well, they just turned the football over. So
no. I'm watching. Yeah. I'm watching with you. Yeah, it sucks. I guess the 5 days, I don't know. Look, we got Williams, if I'm ordering him a pizza, it's got extra pineapple on it. It's a dereliction of duty. However, I just don't understand if they do call it. I know the guy's a rookie. Maybe the more experienced guy like May could have called the playoff, but that's taking a big chance with his career.
No, it's up to Neville Hewitt. Neville Hewitt was the guy that could have changed the call.
Yeah, okay, so Hewitt, okay.
Yeah,
so he could have changed it.
And he felt sick about it afterward.
Yeah, well, or someone could have, you knock the guy on his ass and you take the penalty or you hold him or something, but that's kind of tough in the moment. It was horrible. It was a horrible game. I wasn't impressed with the quarterback for the Jets again. I've given up on him, but they should have won that game. That's almost impossible. It's 98% chance to win that game. But can I mention something about the Giant game?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, thank you. I saw something yesterday with this coach. I saw how they put out for him. I saw that the guy, my name's a bad at this point in my life, the guy used to be the Dallas head coach, is the OC now,
Jason Garrett.
Yeah, called a magnificent game. I saw the coming out party for the defensive line, which there was an award called Most Improved Line. They just got the fumble back, maybe Pittsburgh, I don't know. But anyway, I thought the Giants are really going to be tough now. Talk about playing your asses off. And this kid, I told you the other day I talked here. I can't remember the name. They're running back, the two little guys.
Wayne Gallman. Yeah, listen, Spike. Yeah. I mean, they're playing at a high level. I appreciate the call. I'll get into them later on because they deserve an awful lot of attention the way they're playing. And I'll tell you, I have an awful lot of faith in what they're doing. And I backed it up today. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. 800-919-3776. Let's do it. Richard, what's going on?
Chris, great call on the Rutgers touchdown. I love that call on the wide receiver making that catch. You really were great calling that touchdown.
Thank you.
I enjoy listening to you. Chris, I got a problem. And you said something. I'm with you, everything you said about Greg Williams and all. But you said, first of all, he insulted the integrity of the fans who watched the game.
Yeah.
And I watched the game. Now, any fan of the Jets, I don't care whether you want them to get the number one pick or don't, and I'm not even going to say what my position is, but if I invest 3.5 hours watching a game, I'm watching the Jets to win. I'm not thinking of – now, I respect the guy that wants them to lose, but I can't believe you can watch the game. So to me, it's a difference between seeing the Jets win or lose or hoping the Jets win or lose. If you don't watch the game and say you want the Jets to lose so they get the number one pick, that's fine. But I can't see how any fan can watch a game and hope their team loses. I can't understand that. That, to me – It's moronic. I can't understand that. But that's all, you know. But I'm not saying I disagree with the fan who doesn't want them to win so they get the number one pick. Understand what I'm saying. But if you invest time watching a game to see your team lose, I can't understand that.
This is the thing, Richard. To me, I get wanting the number one pick, and I want the Jets to lose
then.
These games. But, that's an insult yesterday. That's a full-on insult.
Right.
To everybody.
Yes, to the fans. I watch the game. I'm rooting for Donald, and I'm rooting for every kid on the Jet team because I've been watching him for 58 years. That's why. Chris, do you realize that the Jets and Giants had four running backs that yesterday ran for a combined 352 yards? If you asked me about those four running backs 2 months ago, I couldn't have named you one of them. You know? It goes to show you that running backs... they just show up. I mean,
you don't need to take one number two overall. Thanks for the call, Richard. You don't have to. The problem is, you know, they showed that you can get guys who can go out there and do the job. Can always count on Richard for some obscure stat that really means absolutely nothing. I'm going to get to the Giants in a minute. I want to be fair because this gentleman has been very patient on the phones. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Don't forget the live stream available. The video over at ESPN New York 98.7 FM's Twitter handle. And, of course, on ESPN New York's Facebook page. You can see it all right there, and you can leave comments as well, and we will work them into the show, in addition to Twitter as well, at Chris Carlin. Raul in Edison has been very patient. Raul, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. So, first of all, if Blue Jays get DJ LeMahieu, I'll be ecstatic. But I digress.
You'll be ecstatic? Are you a Blue Jay fan?
Yes, I am.
Ah. Well, I would understand that because he's a tremendous player. Meanwhile, they'll get ready to burn down the Bronx.
Yeah. I call regarding Greg Williams. Now, I'm also a longtime Saints fan. So I have nothing but hatred for Greg Williams, trust me.
Yeah.
But may I draw your attention to another angle? Maybe the Joe Douglas or Christopher Johnson asked Greg Williams to throw the game. We all know that neither of the coaching staff was coming back for the Jets. And I would be surprised if even Gase comes back next year. But they asked him to lose the game.
None of the coaching staff is coming back, but why would they fire Greg Williams today if that's what they asked him to do?
Because they don't want to show the fans that we are throwing the game. Fans still have hope for the game. Players are playing their heart out, like you pointed out.
Here's the problem with that, okay? If you're Joe Douglas, if you're Christopher Johnson, how do you look your players in the face and maintain respect when that's the case? You can't. You can't. Because they're the ones who are out there busting it for you. And if you decide that you're going to pack it in and you want to get that number one pick, so you tell your coach to go all-out blitz on the last play of the game, you should never be allowed to run a team again, okay? There's a difference between positioning yourself to maybe not win some games, like late in the year if they play James Morgan, things like that, okay? There is a credibility difference between that and between telling a coach to out and out call something that's going to cost your team the game. You don't do that.
And if I understand that, but like you know how management works. It happened behind closed doors, and they had cut a deal, like you said. Okay, you take a paid vacation, whatever, but we don't want you to win the game, and Jets were winning the game. So they panicked, and they're like, you know what, throw the game.
No, I doubt it. I appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. The problem is, Raul, when that's the case, you have no credibility in the league. Anybody finds out about that, it gets ugly, and it gets ugly quick. And frankly, do I trust Greg Williams to keep his mouth shut? No chance in hell. No chance in hell. Greg Williams wanted out. He wanted a little paid vacation, and he got it. That's exactly what happened here. He wanted out. If you don't look at this and come to that conclusion, I don't know what else we're looking at here, because that is a coach who has been in the league long enough, as aggressively stupid as he has been in the past, he is not this stupid. He is not this stupid. You are going to call an all-out blitz with a wide receiver who is the fastest in the game and a cornerback who is an undrafted rookie free agent. Greg Williams wanted to get fired. It's a disgrace. It's an abomination. He'll never be a defensive coordinator again unless the owner's an idiot. And he shouldn't be. And at 61 years old, just pack it in, because everybody knows you've got zero integrity. Zero. We've seen it before, and we see it again. And when people show you who they are, believe them. Now, I do want to flip over to the Giants for just a few minutes, because they deserve more than just a few minutes. But you get the point. Folks, all bets are off. All bets are off. I'm here to tell you, with what I witnessed yesterday, anything can happen this season with the New York Giants. I fully believe that. Anything can happen. You basically now have a two-game lead, having beaten Washington twice. You went out to Seattle with a backup quarterback and a defense that is playing at an elite level. Leonard Williams is actually finally making Dave Gettleman look like he knew what he was doing. It was still a dumb move. They still could have signed him in the offseason. But at the very least, Leonard Williams now, 2.5 more sacks, looks like the dominant force that you thought he could be. Patrick Graham looks like he's headed to be a head coach with how this defense is playing. Logan Ryan was the signing of the offseason for $7.5 million. Jabril Peppers is playing great football. None of us thought Jabril Peppers could be a great safety. He's doing a tremendous job. James Bradbury, unbelievable signing in the offseason. Blake Martinez, Dave Gettleman's done everything right. The head coach has taken what he's been given and has motivated them in all the right ways, has shown incredible respect for them, while at the same time showing that he is setting a culture in place. You know, the Giants' defense over the last seven games has given up less than 19 points a game. If you look at the league, that would be good for third in the league right now. Third in the league right now. Here's the best part. They're playing all-weather football. Gallman is running north and south and doing a phenomenal job. Colt McCoy didn't turn the football over. And as for Russell Wilson yesterday, I have not seen him look that rattled since he got knocked out of the 2008 Papa John's Bowl when he was at NC State. He was lost. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody think the Giants can't finish 9-7 right now? Anyone think the Giants can't make a run right now? I mean, I know their next three opponents are 21-14, but it's not out of the realm after you have a win like that. We talked about this last week. It's one of those games. It's not a springboard, but holy crap, it puts you on a whole nother level. as long as they avoid reading their clippings this week and they continue to play like this, I mean, that's not the kind of game that you go and win in a fluky way. The Giants deserve to win that game in every possible way. I'm starting to think they are going to put together a run here, as ridiculous as it is. I mean, I think now, I always reserve the right to change my opinion, but 6 wins to me was a lock on the division. It still is. I think they're going to end up winning at least 7 or 8, which after you started 1-7 was just freaking remarkable. I mean, can they win their last 4 games? They absolutely can win their last 4 games. Of course they can. And then you get into the postseason, you're peaking at the right time, you're playing all-weather football, all bets are off. Let me take that back. There's one bet that's on. You know what I did today? Flipped on the old FanDuel Sportsbook. I took a look at futures for the Super Bowl. The Giants right now are 70-1 to win the Super Bowl. I put $25 down. Why not? I mean, you might sit there and think that I am flushing it down the toilet, but a few years ago, before the 2017 season, I was in Vegas. And I placed one bet to win the Super Bowl. One. At 30-1. The Philadelphia Eagles. $50. Paid off $1,500. Now what? All right, one thing I'd like to clarify, after the Redskins or Washington's win just a little while ago, they are now tied with the Giants at 5-7. But when I said they had a 2-game lead earlier, I was thinking they still had the game lead in the win column. Plus, the tiebreaker makes it that extra game. So they basically still have a game lead over the Redskins. God, I keep saying it. Over Washington. But because of the tie, but right now they're tied. Doesn't change my opinion about what the Giants are actually capable of doing right now. By the way, Steelers, oof, that's a rough one. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Jay in Bayside is next. Jay, what's going on?
Chris, how you doing tonight?
I'm outstanding, Jay. What do you got?
I'm just a little worried about you. I think you're sipping a little bit too much of this Giants Kool-Aid. All hats off to the Giants.
I'm not telling you they're going to go win the Super Bowl. I'm telling you that right now they're one of the hottest teams in football. And if that continues, they can get on a run.
What is a run to you, Chris? I don't think they're better than Green Bay, better than the Saints. You know, these are teams that all they would have to play to go on this run. And I think we should wait a few weeks.
When the Giants have gone to the Super Bowl in 2007 and 2011, were they the best team? No.
I think if you look at their rosters, they had more talent than they had.
No, in 2007, they went on the road 3 times and won, including in Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas was the best team at the time, and then they beat the Patriots, who were undefeated going into the game. No, they weren't the best team. It's who's playing the best at the time.
Of course.
Look, the Saints are an excellent team. Don't get me wrong. Okay? The Packers are an excellent team. Don't get me wrong. I don't think anybody wants to play the Giants right now.
If you were Green Bay, you would be scared of the Giants?
If I was Green Bay, I'd be concerned. Yeah, if I was anybody, I'd be concerned playing the Giants.
On this trajectory, who would their first round matchup be?
I got to look it up now. If you give me a second, I'll tell you. But
once again, I might be a bitter Jets fan, but I would be very wary. The NFL is a week to week league, and if the Giants get blown out by the Cardinals or don't look too great, you're going to have an upside down smile on your face.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not even a Giant fan, but right now the Giants would play the Seahawks in the 4-5 game.
How interesting is that? In a rematch, who would you have?
I understand that the Seahawks are an excellent team. Are you not getting what I'm saying here, Jay? They're playing the best right now. And they're capable of doing a lot of things if you continue to play at this level. And they're playing like an all-weather team right now.
Would you give the same kudos to the Cleveland Browns, who had a phenomenal
game? The Browns are playing tremendous football. And that was a great, great win yesterday in Tennessee and completely unexpected. The Browns absolutely are playing top-notch football. And thanks for the call right now, Jay. I'm talking about over in the NFC. Right now, I'm not telling you they're going to go, but for me to not put $20 down at 70-1, some might call that negligent. Dino in Brooklyn. Next, Dino, what's going on with you, buddy?
Hello, you can hear me?
Oh, I can hear you.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Dino?
I'm doing good. I got a little bit of an idea. It's a thought. What if, like, the NFL does away with the tanking and getting the number one overall pick and do something like the NBA does to where how bad you are, you're going to get 25%.
No. I don't want the lottery. No, I think
that's... But then, listen, you got these people, you got grown men getting hurt, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're going all out on a full contact sport. Like, give these guys a chance. Like, you just said it before, like, how are you going to look at these guys in their eyes and expect them to go all out every game, you know?
No,
like,
but just make it listen, so that this way is different. That was a different scenario yesterday. That was a coach who knew he was getting fired and wanted out early so he could get the rest of the year off. That's what happened. And he thought he's thinking about his next job. I can tell you, nobody's hiring Greg Williams as a defensive coordinator unless it's Dan Snyder, unless it's, you know, down in Jerry Jones in Dallas, unless it's Mark Davis, unless it's just a bad owner, then they're and Mark Davis isn't even like his father, so it's not even like that. Nobody's hiring him anymore. It's not the same thing. I know what you're talking about with the lottery, but this is not like the NBA where it is a full-on tank. It's not like that.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, these people are getting hurt. Like, you're doing all of this for what? You know what I'm saying? Like,
what do you think they're going to do? Just not play the games?
They're putting their bodies on the line. They're getting a paycheck, you know.
They're getting a large paycheck.
No, I know, but nobody's winning. And it's like, it's boring to be a Jets fan because you know what the process is. And it's like, don't incentivize these teams. You had Robbie Anderson, you had Lev Bell, you had all these people. You didn't get it done, I know, because of the coach. But, hey, you can't tank because you're not going to get the first overall pick. You're going to get a 25% chance. So do good.
Look. I think when you look at it as a whole, you're not looking at it quite the right way. I appreciate the call, Dino. What I'm saying is that while you're right, it's difficult to look those players in the face when they're putting it all out there for you. This was a very specific situation with a coach that didn't give a damn about anything but getting the hell out of town. That's it. He wanted a paid vacation for the rest of the year and however much he's got left on that contract. Basically, his mentality was, why should I stick around with these losers? I'll show you. Cover zero. Let's put a rookie out there on rookie free agent, undrafted, on Henry Ruggs. That was an utter disgrace by Greg Williams yesterday. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We got open lines. Good chance for you to get through. Let's hit Danny in Newark next, 98.7 ESPN. Danny, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Chris? First thing, 100% agree with you on everything you talked about with the Giants. I'm a big Giants fan, great win, and I think teams are going to be scared to play them in the playoffs. But I do want to touch base one thing on the Greg Williams situation.
Sure.
Where I agree with you, yeah, bad call, 100%. This morning I was on Twitter and I kind of looked at the video again and something kind of caught my eye. So if you get a chance, if you could look at that last play again, to me, and like what the last caller said, the Jets are just bad to begin with. I just think there's no effort with them. They have low morale. But if you look at the last play, look at number 40 sitting in the middle. Everybody was covered. He had the chance to run. If he would have ran through the middle, he had a chance. I'm not saying he would have, but he had a chance to attack Carr. If you look at him, he delayed.
He was a spy. Yeah, they actually had a spy on the play.
Yeah,
that's why he didn't run through. He was actually out there waiting for Carr to run somewhere. Carr doesn't run anywhere.
Exactly. If he would have went and ran through the middle instead of that late last minute try to jump out the way, you know, it was a bad call to begin with. But if he wasn't playing spy and he would have just all out blitzed with the rest of them, I think that play could have ended a little different because it would have disrupted the timing.
It's still an awful, awful call.
At all. Yeah. It was a brutal call.
I'm not putting it on Neville Hewitt for not changing it at the line. I'm not putting it on anybody else besides Greg Williams.
No. I mean, I definitely agree. It was a bonehead call, but I think it definitely had opportunity to go a little different, you know,
I'm not going to give it an opportunity to go a little bit differently, and thanks for the call, because it never should have had to get to that point. I mean, to do that is so beyond irresponsible in every way. It's trying to get fired. That's exactly what he was doing. And it's an utter embarrassment on his part. An utter embarrassment. I want you to listen to this. This is what Mike Silver reported about how it all broke down last night. Okay? Mike reported this on NFL Network Game Day Final. Raiders coaches and players weren't surprised that Greg Williams dialed up an all-out blitz with the game on the line, and Derek Carr checked to a seven-man protection and tight end Darren Waller to chip a defensive end. One person who was caught off guard, Jets head coach Adam Gase, who never imagined his defensive coordinator would make a call leaving the back end so vulnerable with the Raiders, so far from the end zone and with a timeout. Gase was in a discussion with another coach when he heard zero over the headset, indicating a cover zero scheme without a safety, and was shocked. As he turned to the field to react, the Raiders were snapping the ball. Theoretically, linebacker Neville Hewitt, the Jets' defensive signal caller, could have checked out of the defense in reaction to Carr's check changing to protection, but the player decided against making that executive decision. Afterward, Hewitt was beating himself up for having not checked to a cover two, but no one was blaming the player. And with the firing of Williams this morning, it's clear who the Jets' powers that be felt was responsible. Tells me everything I need to know. I honestly believe that Greg Williams was just done with the season. I'm getting fired anyway. Let me go enjoy my Christmas season and collect my check. Guy should never coach in the league again. You should never coach in the league again. You do something like that. Greg Williams has always shown himself to be a man of very little integrity. A man who undermines head coaches when he's defensive coordinator. A man who ran Bounty Gate. And now this. No integrity whatsoever. Victor in New Rochelle next. Victor, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, real quick, I want to talk about the Giants, but I don't know. Why didn't the Jets a head coach intercede there right there and say,
by the time he heard cover zero and turned to the field, he was already turned to the field and the ball just got snapped.
Oh, okay. All right. I wanted to talk about the Giants.
I fully believe Adam Gase in that situation. Fully.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the Giants are going to go on a run because now they started off, 1-7.
Yep.
Now they're what, 5-7?
Yep.
I think teams are starting to look at them and go, we better start looking at the Giants because
I think after you go into Seattle and win, then
yeah,
you have to look at them and take them seriously.
Absolutely, because now all the teams are—they're not quaking, but they're starting to look at them. They say we better keep an eye on them. We better start scouting them a little bit because they might be on the run.
Well, it's not even scouting them a little bit. The Giants are not going to be a pushover. You know, before you could have looked at this, and if they had won the division with six wins, you would have looked at them and not taken them very seriously. Okay, and you would have had every right for that to be the case. Right now, the way they are playing, it's impossible not to take them seriously with how bad that division is. So you're going to end up winning the division, and you're going to end up in the postseason as a dangerous football team with at least one home game.
Especially when you start off the season at 1-7.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Appreciate the call, Victor.
Thank you.
That's remarkable that they've been able to do this. And as I said earlier, you know, the Redskins were 4-7. Now they're 5-7. So they're tied with the Giants. But the Giants control their own destiny because they own the tiebreaker with the Redskins, which is basically like having a one-game lead. Let's hit Mark in Newark next, 98.7 ESPN, who was all over my timeline again yesterday. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, man, I love being all over your timeline. You got to know that by now.
What's going on?
Hey, Chris, you can all caps me right now because I agree with everything that you said. I agree with all of it. And it does, especially the part when you said that it feels like he was trying to get fired. Okay, see you later. But I like that the defensive players were to a fault. I mean, they just, like you were saying about how Neville Hewitt, you know, could have changed it, but it was an executive decision, those kind of things. You know, I like that even knowing that it was a bad call, that they still went out there and gave their 100. I mean, the kid got burnt, but, I mean, who's not going to get burnt when the guy runs 4-2? So, and he even said himself that he shouldn't have went for the double move. And that was, I think, a rookie mistake. Not that it mattered that it should have never been, he never should have been put in that spot to begin with. But still, as I was capping you,
I mean,
with,
it's just wrong for the kid. I mean, and the kid was sick after the game. It's, you know, look, players sure have to execute, but it's not his fault.
No, not at all. When I was capping you about Hall, him too. I mean, you know what? The next defensive coordinator that we get, A, it's a lot of young talent on his defense. But as far as our cornerbacks, you know, I think that we can't just say, okay, let's play soft zone. This is, you know, all the stuff I was hitting you with. You gotta let the trial by fire. Agree or no?
Yeah, yes. But I mean trial by fire how? By going for
when Hall got burned on the long pass and the touchdown. Like, that's the first one that's happened to him since he's been on the team. But he took a bad, bad, bad angle. And I think that he won't make that mistake on a regular, because if he does, then he's just not a good cornerback. But
I think Bryce Hall's got a chance to be very good.
Yeah, me too.
There's trial by fire. And then there's stupidity by coaches.
Exactly. I'm still going to keep my head up for the young guys. I can't wait for next week's game. They played well. You already know how I felt, how Sam played. You even hit me back with, you know, the pocket awareness is not there.
I mean, you know, I'm glad you brought it up because I didn't even talk about it yet, Mark.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. The problem with Sam is, And look, I get it. He played better in the second half. There is absolutely no feel in that pocket for the rush coming. None whatsoever. Sam just does not have that presence. When he gets strip sacked twice, and it's not like they were bum rushes, okay? It was coming around the outside, and you have to have a certain feel for it. And the second one was so bad. So bad to have that situation where Sam gets stripped of the football after he had a good 3.5-4 seconds to throw the ball. It's inexcusable. That was, if you ever still needed to be convinced that getting Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields is the way to go. Watch that again yesterday. Watch those two strip sacks. Because, yeah, Becton got beat around the outside of the first one. But it was a long, circuitous route to get there. And then on the other one, they got beat on the inside. 800-919-3776. How about Sly in Newark? Sly's next, 98.7 ESPN. What do you got, brother?
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I just want to say real quick, I listen to you, you know, every time you're on, and definitely a joy to listen to.
Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate that.
And very funny, very funny. But what I want to say about the Jets, you know, the Jets announcers, you know, they was back in the call at the all-out blitz. I couldn't believe that. I was saying to myself, there's a reason why they work for the Jets.
Who, Bob?
Yeah, he was agreeing with that call.
I don't think he was. No, I listened to it too. He wasn't agreeing with that call. They were acknowledging that that's what they did. They weren't saying it was the right call.
Okay. And the Giants, because I root for the Giants and the Jets. And the Giants, they are better than their record indicates. And I think they're going to be a problem. Like, you know, I'm going to do the same thing you did. I'm put some money down and see what happens.
All I'm telling
you is
plus 7,000 right now over on FanDuel. Just saying. $20. It's a nice little payday. You know, you can swing it $10. Come on. Why not? Why not? I mean, only if you're, you know, interested in value. I'm not by any stretch saying the Giants are going to go win the Super Bowl, okay? But can they get on a run? It would be negligent of me as a pseudo-gambler. I don't really bet very much. I pop in $20, the most maybe $50 occasionally. You know, a couple, I shouldn't say occasionally, during football season, during the NFL, but all on FanDuel, nowhere else, and it's just, you know, when I would go to Vegas, I'd put down a future bet, things like that. I saw that today. I just went to look. What are the Giants? Plus 7,000 to go win the Super Bowl? How do I not put $25 on that? How do I not? Dwayne is in new something. Dwayne, what's up?
What's up, Chris? How you doing, buddy?
Good. Where are you? New what?
New Brunswick.
New Brunswick, outstanding. What do you got?
Come on, you're Rutgers, man. Come on.
I know. It doesn't say New Brunswick. It just says new.
All right. I listen all the time. I could go on. I could stay here and talk to you all day about Oreos. We could talk about everything, but I just want to talk about, you know, a couple things. First off, the Giants. That other caller had no idea what he's talking about. The Giants right now are the scariest team in the NFC right now. The way that defense is playing.
That's the thing.
Green Bay, the Rams, anybody would not want to see the way the Giants are playing right now.
The that Giants defense, are playing all-weather football, especially defensively, football. And they are rolling at the moment. Let's call what it is. Leonard Williams is a problem. For the first time in his career consistently, Leonard Williams is a big problem for offensive coordinators.
Exactly. And I saw this a month ago. I did what you did. I went, checked out what the Giants will pay out, you know, if I just put the conference winner. And I went on, I put $100 down. Ooh. They give me $7,000. And I really believe that.
Just to go to the Super Bowl.
Just to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So I see it right now. The NFC is vulnerable. Like, yeah, you have your great teams. You have the Saints. You have, you know, the Rams. But the Giants, they're that team where their defense is rolling and their offense can get going, and that's that scary team that can get there and, you know, and make it to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to jump to it yet, Twin. Thanks for the call. But all I'm saying is when you watch – how they're playing and how they went up and beat, frankly, one of the top three quarterbacks in the league and made him look so bad, I mean, it's beyond impressive what they've been able to do. Beyond impressive. I'll tell you what. You don't win that kind of game in fluky fashion.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.